This is Wells Tech, a weekly show exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. Your hosts are Sally Draper and Martin Spriggs. Wells Tech is produced by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 546, recorded on April 24th, 2018. My name is Martin Spriggs, and you've joined a show about technology and ministry, where we explore those intersections and hopefully find the good stuff that you can use to both improve or enhance your personal and professional ministries. Thanks for joining us. And thanks, Sally Draper, for joining us as per usual for episode 546. Hey, how are you, Sally?
I am very good, Martin. Happy to be joining you and happy to outnumber you today in a couple of different ways. So we are not alone in the hosting duties this week. We have Rachel Feld, Professor Rachel Feld from Martin Luther College, joining us as well. Another new Almite, enjoying springtime at its finest here in New Ulm, Minnesota, and also another female to outnumber you today,
Mark. I definitely don't mind being outnumbered by you guys, so I look forward to these shows where we add a member and get different perspectives. This is cool stuff when we talk about educational technology, which is what we do when we have Rachel or Jason on. So thanks for joining us, Rachel.
You're welcome. It's always great to be here, and we get to talk about one of my favorite things today, apps. So I'm excited. Got lots of stuff to share.
Not just any apps, but this is Awesome Apps Month.
Yes.
And we are to the point where we're talking about educational apps or apps for teachers and students, right?
Yes, definitely. And a great place to start is something we talk about quite often on Wells Tech. It's our friends at Common Sense Media. They have a website, commonsense.org, where they share all kinds of great information for parents, for educators, for advocates, for students, children, and the media that they can consume. And today we want to definitely kick off the show by pointing to the fact that for educators, they have a whole section of ed tech reviews and resources. So you can find tools, you can see their top picks for things, and it's kind of limitless what's available here. They've got all different subjects represented, all the different grade levels available to you, and different skills that you can select from as well. So if you dive into a particular category or whatever, you're going to see different apps. It is a mix of mobile apps and web apps, so you'll see both included in the listings. But when you pick a particular app, for instance, maybe GarageBand, an app for iOS from the good folks at Apple, they're going to take you on a look inside. There's different screenshots provided. There's pros and cons and the bottom line. And then there's information from real teachers out there where they supply information on how I can teach with this tool, and their own reviews and things are included as well. So very thorough vetting of each of the apps that's listed on the Common Sense Education site. So I would say that would be a great one-stop place, and we almost could stop talking about this topic at this point, because once you can go there and find different things to meet your particular subject, grade level, skill that you're looking for, and read the different reviews and things, I think that's pretty powerful stuff.
You are absolutely right, Sally. That's Common Sense is probably one of my favorite websites to go to when I'm looking for pretty much anything as far as teaching with technology. But the lists can get a little overwhelming, especially if you don't know what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. So after you've looked through all those, you can also check out our list. And one of my top favorites is called Adobe Spark. And a thank you to James Karlofsky, who introduced me to this at the beginning of the semester, or first semester. Adobe Spark is free, which is why we love it. But it has three main parts or arms, and that's video and posts and page. And there are kind of three different parts of the same thing where your students can create. And in my mind, the apps that students can use to create are the most powerful because they can be used in any subject. You can, you know, just focus on, if you learn Adobe Spark, then you can make a social studies project and you can make a video for math, or you can, you know, you don't have to learn different tools for different things. Adobe has recently released an EDU version that works with Google logins, I believe. And so your students don't have to have Adobe IDs, which is really nice. So the page version is what, excuse me, Sally is showing right now. And that's kind of like a multimedia research paper or presentation where it's one continuous scroll, but students would pull together text information and videos and graphics and pictures and really would be able to share whatever they've learned about a topic in a kind of creative way that you wouldn't get if you were making a regular research paper in a Google Doc, but also is a little more, say, making a slide presentation where you have different parts because it all flows together.
Mm-hmm.
The other two options in Adobe Spark are posts. And posts are basically like a Facebook graphic, but obviously could be used for so much more. Invitations, book covers, posters, lots of different things. And then they also have a video option. And the video can put together video clips and photos, and you can record audio and put together a really nice looking video with not a whole lot of technical know-how. One of my favorite parts is that there are some, there's media built in. So when you are making your presentation, you can look and music that go with it without having to go to an outside place. And then it also makes a citation list at the end. So kind of reinforces that the importance of citing your sources and where'd you get your pictures from and things like that. It's nice. Available on, you could do it on a Chromebook. It's got iPad apps. Do it on a laptop. Very flexible.
Very nice. And just nice that they have the education side of it. I think yes. We've talked about Spark before on the show, but this is specifically for use with students. So all the security and things around that are in place as well.
Good stuff. This one, we talked about this maybe a month or so ago, and maybe it was even a pick or at least a piece of it. I'm looking forward to maybe even trying these tools out for presentations. I'm teaching an MLC course again this summer, and this might be another component of it. Maybe have people try using this. It's a little bit different paradigm where it allows you to be maybe a little bit more creative, and it does a lot of the work for you. So you don't have to be super well-versed in, you know, layout and design. It has some great templates. And one of the nice things about Adobe Spark is they have a big suggestion area where you've got a bunch of examples of different things people have done or they put together to kind of spark your creativity, so to speak. So there's all kinds of uses for this. I can even see uses in congregations or schools for newsletters or annual reports. You know, just kind of spruce things up a little bit rather than just kind of our traditional text-based or Word doc-based kind of presentations. I think these are awesome tools and free and just really nicely done.
Yep. Another pick of yours, Rachel, has to do with ebooks.
Yes, my next pick. When I was teaching first and second grade, my students used it pretty much every day. It's called Epic. And their website is getepic.com. And it's kind of like the Netflix of books. It is free for educators, which is huge. So in your classroom, you can sign up for an educator account and you can get access to books and some learning videos, and they've added quizzes recently, and just tons of information. Since it's designed for an educator, you as the teacher can make your individual student accounts, and then you can assign your individual students books to read. So you can help them fill their bookshelf with digital books that are on their level. You can also make lists of books. So when we would be doing research projects, I would make maybe a list of books about dinosaurs or about plants. And then I could assign that list to all of their accounts. And when they logged in on the iPad, then they had those books right there ready to go. They didn't have to go searching for them, which when you're dealing with first graders trying to spell dinosaur, that can be very helpful. And then I knew they were all getting similar information, and they were picking ones that they could read. It's got fiction and nonfiction. It has some popular titles that you will recognize, some that are unique to Epic. Some of the books will do a read-along, so it'll highlight the words and read them for you. Some are audiobooks, so the students can listen to them. I believe they have Spanish resources as well. I would often use them on the smart board so that all my class could see the book, and we'd, you know, pick out the nouns or the verbs or the adjectives, things like that. There are videos in there, and mostly educational. None of them are inappropriate, but you can, from your teacher dashboard, turn the videos off for your students, which I did because I let them use Epic in their free time, but I wanted them to be reading and not watching videos. So you can turn that off in the teacher dashboard and then turn it back on if there's something you want them to see.
Cool. Looks like it's for ages 5 to 12 or even under 5. There's stuff for preschoolers as well, but up through age 12. And there is a parent subscription model as well. So if you're listening and just want to get access to the books for your children at home or in a homeschool setting, it says they have access to 25,000 of the best books, learning videos, and quizzes. So pretty impressive collection. GetEpic.com. So got to jump on some math stuff as well, Rachel. And your next one was something that really excited me.
Yeah, this one is relatively new. I think in the past month or so. It's from GeoGebra, which is in math world pretty well known. And this is an augmented reality app. So not exactly something that's maybe first grade friendly, but something for our friends in upper grades and high schools. It takes equations that are 3D and shows them in augmented reality.
So you can kind of walk around them.
You can use a camera on your device to really examine all the different aspects of whatever you've graphed.
That's pretty amazing.
So if you've graphed something with a hole in it, you can take your camera and actually go through the hole in the center of it. There's lots of cool math things that you can do with this.
Very fun. So yeah, put it right there in your setting and take your camera and walk around it and see it from different angles and things like that. So very visionary way to see mathematic equations, something I didn't grow up with for sure. So making use of the devices and technology today. Mm-hmm. So that's cool stuff.
Yep.
So, well, if people are just trying to use a typical suite of tools like word processing, spreadsheets, slideshows, things like that, I think you can kind of go a couple of different ways with that. Depending on what device you're on, and if your school is more Apple-centric versus Google-centric, I think there are some great apps either way you go.
Yeah, and I love that Google has made iPad apps for pretty much all of their apps. You can get Google Slides and Google Docs and Google Sheets and Google Drive all on your iPad. Classroom works pretty well on Google on an iPad as well. So just because you've got iPads, you don't have to shy away from using Google Apps. A bummer thing, Google Sites doesn't work on an iPad. Maybe that's coming, maybe it's not. Right now, Google Sites pretty much only works in Chrome and maybe Windows Explorer.
So, and you're talking, you're talking the editing of the sites. People can
view
sites on whatever device, but it's the management of the site. There's no app for Google Sites yet, but for pretty much everything else Google, there's some great apps out there.
Yep. There's a cool Google Translate app that will use your camera to translate in real time.
Oh, fun.
So if you hold your device up to a sign that's in a foreign language, it will translate it to the language of your choice. There's a nice YouTube for Kids app that tries, and I say tries, to limit the content to things that are appropriate for children. So parents can feel a little bit better if their kids are on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, just there are just so many Google apps for the iPad. It's kind of amazing.
Definitely. Maybe throw in a mention of a Bible app that's a favorite of yours.
Yes, the Bible for Kids app is from the people who make YouVersion, I believe. And this is another free one. And it's an activity-based app. I remember when I was little, there were these active storybooks. I know I had Dr. Seuss, mm-hmm. Green Eggs and Ham. And when you clicked on things, funny things popped up, and you would click on the words, and it would read to you. This is that program, but with Bible lessons. So it starts from creation and goes all the way to Revelation and getting to go to heaven. And definitely for the younger crowd, there are options for the lesson to be read aloud or for students to read the lesson themselves. And then in the pictures are well done. And fun things happen when you tap on them. Like if you tap on a sheep, he might do a somersault, or a tree, an apple might fly out of it, or things like that. I would sometimes I would mirror my iPad to my screen in my classroom and use the pictures as I was telling the lesson. And then the students could go back during their free time and use it as well. There's some quiz type things with comprehension that go on, and you have to collect gems as you read a certain number of lessons and things like that. So some things to keep your students or your children interested.
Very good. And I think we would be remiss if we didn't visit the website duckduckmoose.com and talk about their apps. I think you've talked about this before on Wells Tech, but wow, they have some amazing apps and the price tag is just right.
Yes. I believe this was a pick of mine a couple of months, maybe last year at some point. But yeah, DuckDuckMoose apps are really great. They have iPad and Android, which is nice. They are all free, which is doubly nice. They're, I'd say, about preschool through there's a math one that goes into multiplication and division, so probably third, fourth-ish grade. And there's a wide variety. There's, you know, some puzzle ones that are cool. There are a couple of math ones that are really great. Moose math, you have to, like, make a smoothie for the moose, and different bingo things, and just they're very well done. It's in connection with Khan Academy, and they've won several awards for design and for good learning and things like that. There's a superhero comic maker and a fairy tale maker that are one of my favorites is called ChatterPix. And I believe that's the video that we've picked for this week. Mm-hmm. So ChatterPix, you take a picture of something, or you could draw a picture in another app and import that. And then you draw a mouth on it, and then you record yourself saying something. And then the mouth moves, and it's funny. But this could have some educational uses if your students draw a picture of the main character in their book. and then they have to record a summary of the chapter from the perspective of that main character. Or maybe they're retelling some historical event and they've used a picture of a president or some other historical figure. I think there are some educational uses in that one that students would enjoy doing.
Definitely. Sounds like a lot of fun. So, yeah, I think I'll go install some DuckDuckMoose apps after we're done.
They're a little addictive, so watch out.
Yeah. Maybe we should shift gears a little bit and talk about the administrative side of things. Do you have some recommendations for teachers and helping them get their job done?
Sure. So if you have iPads that are running, I believe, iOS 11 or later, the Apple Classroom app is pretty amazing. Depending on how your iPads are managed, you might have to check with your like administrator tech person to get it set up. But what Apple Classroom does is takes all of your students, all their iPads, and brings it into one app where you can do things like see all their screens. You can see what everyone's doing on their iPad. You can see who has a low battery and should go plug in. You can force them all into an app and then lock it in that app so they can't get out of it. You can mute all their iPads. So if everyone is watching a video or working on some sort of project with sound and you want to get their attention, just press the mute button, all their sound will go off, and guaranteed your whole class will look up and see what to figure out what's wrong. You can also share their screen. So if you've got an Apple TV set up or some other mirroring way of sharing it, then you can see what they're working on and you can show it to everyone. So if someone's got a really great slide or has done something cool, it's very easy to just get that up on the screen for everyone to see. It's pretty easy to set up. But again, it depends on how your iPads are managed in your classroom. So that would be something you need to check with your tech person.
Cool. And Apple doesn't stop there. They have a lot of education resources to support teachers as well.
They do. If you look in the iBooks store, and I just came across this in the last year or so, they have lots of iBooks specifically for educators. Things about how to pick out apps for your classroom. They have an Everyone Can Code curriculum that comes with, that goes along with the Swift Playgrounds app. And they've just recently announced in the last 6 weeks an Everyone Can Create curriculum that I'm excited to look at over the summer with ideas for how to use different iPad apps in creating in your classroom. And I would say even if you don't have iPads, the Everyone Can Create curriculum looks like a good read because you can use different apps for the activities they're talking about. You know, maybe you don't have iMovie, but you can use WeVideo, or mm-hmm. you could use Adobe Spark or things like that. So Apple usually has some pretty good ideas when they release things like that.
Cool. And then finally, they announced not too long ago that they're coming up with something very similar to Google Classroom called Apple Schoolworks. So I think we're all kind of anxiously awaiting that release. I don't know that it's out yet.
It's not out yet. They were, the last I heard, they were saying before the school year starts. So we'll see what that looks like. This would definitely be if you have an Apple-centric classroom. So if you're trying to mix iPads and Chromebooks, this might not work so well, but if you are complete iPads, this looks like a way to do things like hand in papers and for teachers to look at them, and should be interesting to see what Apple has come up with there.
Excellent. So I think that'll about wrap up our discussion of awesome apps for the classroom. Yeah, there's tons of them out there, and maybe reiterate that Common Sense Media website for educators and kind of using that as a good place to find apps specific to your needs, and also to read the reviews and see the pros and cons of the different apps that are out there. So.
And I would just reiterate that when you're choosing apps, especially for your classroom, look for ones that can be used for more than one thing. Look for ones where your students are creating things. There are a million different like math flashcard apps and things like that. And some of them are really, if you can focus on apps that allow your students to create things and to show what they learned, I think you'll get a little more mileage out of an app. And definitely have a bigger impact on their learning.
Excellent.
Very nice. Rachel, thanks for your contributions. Those are awesome.
You're welcome.
Great things to explore. And more coming. I'm looking forward to our conference next year, next summer. I'm sure we're going to have some workshops to talk about different apps for Chromebooks, for tablets, those kinds of things. Maybe we'll have a shootout like we had in 2015. That was a lot of fun. It was Jason Schmidt and I forget who else.
Dave Tuff did that one.
That's right.
I'm not taking on either of them, so I'm not brave enough for that.
Well, we'll find somebody. All right, let's move on to our News in Tech segment. I shared an article here on from Microsoft that OneNote, which is something that we've talked about a lot and one of my favorite apps has been in the news. OneNote has a bunch of different versions, and one of the versions, the desktop version that goes with Office 365, the one you install, is no longer under active development. So Microsoft has these installable apps, these what they call desktop apps, but they also have what they call Windows Store apps, which are a little bit more mobile-friendly, tablet-friendly. So they're putting more of their development energy into the Windows Store version, which is, you know, there are some differences, but I think the gap has shrunk quite a bit, and I think it's actually a little more stable in my experience. So I think the move is a good one. So if you are a big fan of OneNote and you're using the desktop app, you just may want to be aware that that is not going to be improved or upgraded, you know, anymore. They're going to put more of their new stuff into the Windows Store app, which comes installed, pre-installed on Windows 10 machine. So you really shouldn't have to do anything to get it. It pulls from the same file and can read the same data, syncs the same data. So there really is no migration necessary. You just have to open it up and pick the notebooks you want to work on. So I find that the Windows Store app looks a lot more like the web version, and it looks a lot like the app versions that are available on devices as well. So I don't view this as a negative thing. I think Windows or Microsoft is smart and kind of consolidating. I think it was always a little bit confusing. Why do I have two OneNote apps on my machine? So this simplifies things a little bit.
Yeah. I noticed in the article, you know, that they'll definitely be updating it frequently, and one thing they specifically mentioned, Martin, was the ability to insert and search for tags.
Yep,
that'll be a big plus to OneNote to be able to tag your content. So
yep, we struggled with that a little bit, trying to kind of standardize on that for our documentation and such. So that's helpful.
Definitely.
Wells Now, what's happening in the Wells world, Sally?
Got a couple of things to share happening in the Wells world. And the first one is that MLC Day is coming up. We've talked about this in past years on the podcast. I think this may be the third or fourth year that they've celebrated MLC Day on the first Wednesday of May. This year it falls on May 2nd, and you can find out more at mlcday.com. They also have resources available, all kinds of cool stuff that you can make use of to promote MLC on MLC Day within your congregation and school, including some message prompts where you can download and print a single sheet of paper, write in your answer, and share it with MLC. So they have prompts for my prayer for MLC, I love MLC because, I support MLC because, or an MLC Day shout out to. I happen to have one of those prompts right here for Wells Tech. It says a shout out to Professor Rachel Feld for Wells Tech's semi-regular classroom correspondent. Just one of the many ways that MLC is very vibrant in our churches and schools. So yeah, check out mlcday.com. It's coming up next Wednesday, May 2nd, and maybe it's time for us to tease a little that our show next week will be focused on MLC Day. So you'll want to tune in next week and celebrate MLC Day with Wells Tech. One more thing to share in the Wells world, and that is a job opening that I recently read about over at Kingdom Workers. Kingdom Workers is hiring something very techy, a copy and social media manager. So the responsibilities include maintaining all the communication materials and making sure they're completed in a timely and professional manner, communicating the Kingdom Workers brand. So if that seems to fit your skill set and interest, maybe you want to head over and read more about the job. There's a place to submit your resume right there on the screen. So check it out. We'll have a link in the show notes.
And side note, Kingdom Workers just moved their offices. So they're now here in the Waukesha area, just up the road from the Senate office building. So cool. I didn't get over to their open house. I was out of town last week, but apparently the reports are back that it's a really nice space, and you know, they're much closer to us, which is kind of nice.
Good for them. Awesome.
Should we move on to our picks of the week?
It's time.
Hey, Rachel, what do you got for us this week?
My pick this week goes with iPad apps, and it's a company called Osmo, and they make apps that have interactive pieces for you to play with. So it's kind of a combination of apps and manipulatives. So you get that hands-on learning with manipulatives, but also the cool tech integration. So what you have to have a base for your iPad to sit in. And so there's a white part that keeps your iPad at the right angle. And then there's also a little red thing that goes over your camera. And it has a mirror that makes your camera go and see what's on the table in front of it. And so there are a lot of apps they've got that make use of this. One of my favorites is called Pizza Company. Mm-hmm. If you've ever played one of those like Diner Dash games where you have to like make the food, this is like that with pizza, except you have the actual pizza in front of you and you have to put the toppings on. And if they want three green peppers in a triangle, you have to put them in a triangle. Mm-hmm. But then the cool educational aspect of this one is after you have served your customer, they have to pay for their pizza. And depending on what level that you set it at, they might give you $10 and their pizza was $5, so you have to give them $5 change. Or maybe they gave you $10.72 and their pizza was $5.36 and you have to give them whatever change that is. And so when you buy the game, it also comes with little money pieces. And you will put the pieces in front of the iPad. Because of that mirror, the camera will see what you've put in front of it and will tell you if the change you've made is right or not. Osmo also has some art ones, some math and word game ones. There's a Tangram one. There are a couple of coding ones. There's a really fun one that has Hot Wheels cars that I really want to get just to play with it. The base is about $40, I believe, and you have to have a base for each iPad that wants to use it. And then the different pieces range in price. You can usually get a base plus a game for around $80 to $100. So not cheap, but very, very fun and a very nice interaction between real world pieces and technology.
So I could see this as maybe a station type activity rather than one for each iPad, but yeah, the students would rotate through and be able to do Osmo for a period of time and share it
right
in that way. One that you described to me was they were drawing, and then the drawings come to life. Like he needs a magic wand, so they draw a magic wand, and then he uses the magic wand all throughout. So
yes, They're very fun. And the ability for more than one student to use it at a time. I think a lot of times with technology, you can collaborate on a project, but for little kids to collaborate on a project, it's harder. These apps make it easier for them to work together. The Letters app even has red letters and blue letters, so the kids can work in teams, kind of against each other, have a little competition going. So I really like the interactive social aspect that you can have with these apps.
Nice. Very nice. All right.
All right, Sally, you're up.
My turn. And I will just say that my pick of the week is an ebook, a PDF ebook that's now available from Church Tech Today, one of the many blogs that we follow that's doing great work in the area of church technology. And they just announced a new ebook. It's called Be a Hero with Instagram. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes. It's a quick read, maybe 35 pages or so. But they bring out some really good points, and it's really up to date. Because Instagram has changed over time. And one of the big things that's changed is that they support businesses, and your church or school is a nonprofit business in their eyes, where you can actually have a little more metrics on your the people that are seeing your Instagram post, and you can also do some advertising and things like that. So they kind of walk you through from getting started, learning about posts and hashtags, because that's a big thing on Instagram, and even give you some ideas of things that you can post and hashtags you can use as a church. They talk you through the stories aspect and also live streaming, both capabilities in Instagram that are growing. And then they shift gears and focus on church communication planning and give you some ideas around how to make Instagram part of your church communication strategy or whatever. And the PDF ends with some links to different or some information from different articles and resources they have on the Church Tech Today site. So really quick and easy read, but plenty of good information there to help you get started or up your game in Instagram, popular social media.
Yeah, very nice. They are also, we talked with Lauren a while back about some of their other ebooks, and they really have an ebook for almost every social media channel. So they had an Instagram book, they had a Pinterest book, a Facebook, Twitter, and they're just kind of small 3 or 4 page ebooks, but they kind of get to the point of how to use these for ministry. So some good stuff there. Yeah. All right. My pick, and I'm going to swing my microphone around. I had mentioned the OneNote change going from a desktop app, and they're focusing all their energy on the Windows Store app. And there's a bunch of good stuff in the Windows Store these days. It really was a wasteland, you know, a year or so ago, and I think they've made some nice improvements. But one that comes built in that you may not be aware of if you are using Windows 10 is the Tips app. If you just hit your Windows key and type in Tips, you will get to the app. And the app itself has all kinds of different content that'll help you be a little bit more productive or more creative with the use of Windows 10. There's a lot of cool stuff in it. And so they have recommendations, which I'm showing here if you're watching at home, tips for using a Surface, what's new in Windows 10, create and edit videos, working in 3D, personalizing your PC, getting organized, the basics. And then if you go into those sections, they'll give you a lot of options as far as watching videos and those kinds of things. And then they have an area called Collections. So they have a collection just for Windows, for Microsoft Edge, which is their built-in browser, for using Office, for Windows apps, for mixed reality, for Surface. So you can go into any one of these and see all the content that they have. And talking about creating, if you go into the Office app, you're talking about creating signatures, how to build your own customized signature, those kinds of things. Just a lot of cool stuff that they have available. And then all kinds of content of, you know, written articles, step-by-steps, videos that they have. Just a lot of things that I think you might like as you're thinking about maybe figuring out how to use this PC that you've got. So take a look at the Tips app. It is itself a Windows Store app, so you can search for different things. The search works really well. Just kind of a good place to start if you want to get to know your PC a little bit better, especially obviously if you're using Windows 10. So that is my pick of the week.
You know, I think it's a great idea to invest in yourself in that way, Martin. We all kind of grew up with Windows for the most part, PC users, and when they change things, like Windows 10 is so different and everything, we just kind of experience a lot of angst rather than taking the time to actually invest in learning all the capabilities, which are pretty awesome once you understand all it's capable of.
So, for sure.
Yep. Good stuff.
All right. What's our ministry resource this week?
Well, Rachel already made mention of it, but we wanted to draw special attention to Apple's Everyone Can Create curriculum. And we will have links to it in the show notes, and make sure you check it out. It's teacher resources for integrating technology into your curriculum. And it says, teaches students to develop and communicate ideas through video, photography, music, and drawing. And it gives teachers fun and meaningful ways to bring these skills into any lesson, topic, or assignment. So even though it's done by Apple, they can do these same kind of things on all different types of devices. So don't feel like you have to be an iPad school to make use of this great curriculum. So check it out.
Cool. Very cool. Do we have any community feedback?
We do. We wanted to make mention of a follow-up on our awesome apps for communication show, which was last week's show. We heard from teacher Perry Lund, who's out at Evergreen Lutheran High School. He said, thanks very much for, I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong one. He said, I recently was attending an online conference on MS Teams, and its use as communications tool in an organization. So he's talking about Microsoft Teams. One of the presenters mentioned that organizations and groups internally that need to communicate internally should not use email. Instead, using a tool like Microsoft Teams is a good idea because it allows groups, so schools or groups within schools like the office staff, coaches, teachers, etc. It allows them to have conversation, and it archives that. So as new people are added, they can go back and see the conversations, things that typically would be lost in email threads and buried or deleted from your inbox. It has Skype integrated for group video conferences, and Teams is integrated with other Microsoft tools, so people can open OneNote, Word, PowerPoint, Excel, all inside of Teams. And it can also be tied to a SharePoint library, and Teams allows you to integrate your other cloud storage, like Dropbox and Google Drive. So there's almost 100 different connectors to tie in apps like SurveyMonkey or Quizlet or whatever. So definitely something worth looking at for your school. And Evergreen is working with Teams, and I'm sure Perry would be willing to answer questions if you're looking for advice in that regard. He's got a lot of experience. Maybe we can even lure him to Wells EdTech Lead Conference to do some presentations on it next summer. So thanks for the feedback, Perry, and for being a longtime Wells Tech contributor.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons that prompted Perry to share that is we had a little quick conversation a couple weeks ago on Slack, which is a very similar product, but Microsoft Teams is Microsoft's foray into that area, and very strong. Mm-hmm. I think it's getting a lot better. So, mm-hmm. All right. So we are at the point in our show where we share a video and then we say goodbye, and we kind of get teased our video as well, Chatter Picks.
Yeah, this is just a quick one that will give you an idea of what Chatter Picks can do for you. Basically,
it's very cool. Picture
and make the picture talk. So fun stuff. Yep. Check it out.
Nice. Sally mentioned next week that we're going to be celebrating MLC Day. So we'll have a couple of special guest interviews that day. So we're looking forward to celebrating with MLC as well. So Rachel, thanks so much for joining us again. It's always a pleasure to have you.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Okay. Happy MLC Day.
Thanks. All right.
And thanks to all of you for joining us. We really do appreciate the time that you decided to spend with us, and hopefully it was worth the effort and that you'll return again next week. Take care, everybody. Have a great week. Bye-bye.